Bibles to Psalms, the book of the Psalms, and we're going to be looking at the 105th Psalm this morning. And while you're turning, if anybody else has anything else on your heart, feel free. Chapter 105, the 105th Psalm. And this is a historical psalm recording some of the history of Israel, dealing with Egypt, coming out of Egypt, what the Lord did in Egypt, bringing them out, taking care of them in the wilderness. And as the psalmist is reflecting on all those things, thinking all those things, wherever he gets to talking about it, obviously thinking of the Lord's provision and all the things that the Lord did through Moses and through the plagues, and no doubt he's got that on his mind. And as he's about to write about it, before he can even get to it, the first five verses start out like this: "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of His wondrous works, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forever. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen." And so he's already got, the psalmist no doubt has got on his mind what he's about to write about. And with those things no doubt kind of marinating in his mind, stirring in his mind and his heart, he has to start out like this. He knows what he's going to get to, but this is what he's got to start with. And it's amazing how whenever you get to meditate and thinking on the blessings of God and all the things He's brought you through and all the times He's seen you through, you know, you may be wanting to talk about that, but it seems like you start with this, isn't that right? You get Hannah sings a song like that, and you get to meditating on all those things that God has done for you. You can put yourself in the lyrics of those songs, and you can put yourself in that place and say, "The Lord's done that for me." But then whenever you turn and you're going to testify about it, you have to start out with, "I just want to praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for all that He's done. I just want to bless the Lord and say thank the Lord for saving me," all those things. Before you get to the specifics of what's really on your heart, you got to just start out with, "I just want to thank the Lord." Amen. It's like that's what the psalmist does right here. He knows what he's going to write about, but he's got to start with this because it's already in his heart. And what we find in these verses here, really verse number one, I was thinking about all these verses. I've been kind of going through the psalms lately and had the psalms on my heart. And what we see really in these first five verses are some of the main duties of man, the main duties of humanity. As the psalmist here is thinking about what the Lord has done, it then stirs his heart to his own duty and the duty of everyone else. Because God has been so good, because see, it's His goodness that leads us to repentance, isn't that right? It's not judgment and wrath. Matter of fact, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so fear of judgment and fear of wrath really never saved anybody. It's really that goodness that we start to see. When you get a real spiritual view of how good God has been in light of that judgment and in light of that wrath, it's really that's what leads us to repentance. And so the psalmist here is looking at the goodness of God and all that He's done, and it stirs his heart really to duty. It says, "God has been so good to Israel. God's blessed us in days gone by, and God's taken care of us and done things really that weren't even possible, physically speaking. They were not possible. There was no possible way for us to get out of Egypt. That nation is too big. That government's too powerful. Pharaoh is too egotistical and all those things. There's no way we'd have ever got out of Egypt, but God did it." And you can say that in your own life, can't you? There's no way I could have done the things that I've done. There's no way I'd have made it this far. There's no way I could have saved myself. There's no way. Impossibilities. Yet God has done it. And you know, whenever we think about His goodness and think about what He's done, it causes us to be just like the psalmist here. It ought to cause us to be stirred unto duty. Because that's what the first five verses speak of. Not just the duties of Israel, but the duties of humanity. And your duties and my duties unto God. And when we look at our duty unto God, rather than looking at it as a checklist of what to do to please God, instead of looking at it that way, look at it as I'm doing my duty because God's been so good to me. That's what will make the load light. That's what makes the burden light and the load easy. That's what makes it easy to serve Jesus. That's why it's so important to praise Him. That's why it's so important to be thankful. That's why it's so important to meditate on the goodness of God and know who He really is. That He's not just, sitting on the throne waiting to drop the hammer on us the first time we do something wrong. No, He's a God of mercy. And He's been good. And even when I've messed up, He's still been good. And even when I do mess up, He'll still be good because of His love and His care. And that stirs us unto duty. And when thinking about all that, looking at these five verses, thinking about the duties of man, we would never get through all five of them this morning, I'll just tell you that. But I do want to just look at the first three, or the first verse, and look at three things in the first verse. And maybe just, give you a devotional thought this morning. It's got to be good, though, because the Seals family is leaving town today. So this has got to be good enough to carry them through next week. Amen? And so, and it's going to be good for the rest of us to get us through the afternoon. But I want to just give you a few simple thoughts that I just kind of had on my heart this morning already. It seems like the Lord has kind of stirred the service in that direction already anyways, regarding the duties of man, the duties of humanity. And we see three things really just in this first verse. There's a lot that could be said in all the first five verses, but just in the first verse, there are three things here. There's praise, prayer, and proclamation here. And I want to preach to you on that, those thoughts on praise, pray, and proclaim. Praise, pray, and proclaim. Because three items of duty are given in this verse, and they include those three things. It's always great whenever the Bible outlines itself for you. You know, the preacher doesn't have to do a lot of work whenever the outline's just right there. Amen? And so, let's look at this. In light of the goodness of God, all that He's done in the history of Israel, and all that He's done in the history of your life, think about these duties. The first one is in verse 1 again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Well, that's the first statement made by the psalmist when he's thinking about how good God has been to Israel. When he thinks about the history of His people and the history of what God has done, the first thing out of his mouth is the first thing out of our mouth usually when we're testifying, when we've been thinking about the goodness of God, is that I just want to praise the Lord. Amen? And the command there is to, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And you know, when you think about the duty of humanity, my duty and your duty and the duty of appreciation, the statement there, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It seems like such a simple duty, doesn't it? I mean, it's so easy and it's so simple, yet few do it very well. Amen. I mean, we'll do it well when God's stirring in a service and we get to meditate upon it, but you know, we ought to meditate on it every day. And that'll be our lifestyle. That'll be the way we are all the time because God's still good tomorrow. And God's still good the next day. And God's still good the day after that. And God's still good when we're in the valley. And God's still good when there's a wide river to cross. And God's still good when we're in a dark time in our life. And God's still good when we're going through something we've never been through. And God's still good when we don't see how it's all going to add up and how it's all going to come together. He's still good then, isn't He? And so it ought to be the reality. It ought to be the pattern of our life is that we're always appreciating God for all that He's done. Amen. You know, one thing that we can say, even when we don't see what God is doing and don't know how things are going to turn out or how, you know, why we are in the place we are right now, one thing we can always say is, Lord, thank You that You're doing something in my life. Amen? Because even when things are not the way we want them to be, the reality is that God, by faith, God is still doing something in our life. You may not see it, you may not know, but listen, He was doing something in Joseph's life whenever he was down in the dungeon. Amen? He was doing something in Joseph's life when Potiphar Potiphar's wife was lying on him. He was doing something in Joseph's life when his own brothers sold him into slavery and had him down in that pit. God was doing something in his life all along the way. And Joseph may have not have seen it then, but he did by faith know God is doing something in this. Amen. And so I'm just simply saying we can always be thankful, and that ought to be the hallmark of the Christian life, and that ought to be the testimony of God's people out in the world. That ought to be the testimony of every member of Unity Baptist Church in the community, that boy, those are some thankful folks. Amen. Those are some cheerful folks. Amen. Because you can be thankful on your worst day, and you can appreciate God when you don't feel like it. And you can appreciate God and be thankful and give praise unto God when your flesh isn't in it. Amen. By faith, you can always do it. Amen. And it is a command, it is a duty, but God is worthy. Amen. And it's such a simple thing, but the simple is our struggle. Write that down, the flyleaf of your Bible, and never forget it. The simple is my struggle. Amen. Listen, it is the nature of the flesh to want something complicated. Did you know that? Because if it's complicated, then I have to work at it to figure it out. But if it's so simple that even a child can understand it, then God's got to do it. Right? I mean, you just look at the fitness industry. All these crazy complicated diets and fad diets. All these crazy complicated workout routines and exercise routines. You do 15 workouts and all these different movements and all these things. When really, if you want to be healthy, it's pretty simple. Amen. Eat healthy foods, exercise daily, drink enough water, and that's pretty much it. Get enough sleep, and that's pretty much it. But see, the flesh, humanity wants it complicated. Complication equals more success. But you know, more success in the Christian life and more success in spiritually is just doing the simple things. Doing the things, the straightforward commands. See, we're never more like the devil when we won't praise the Lord. Do you know that? I heard a man say that years ago. It's always stuck with me. We're never more like the devil when we will not praise God. We're being just like him. Amen. Because that's what he wouldn't do. That's what he refuses to do, is to give honor to God and to give glory to God and to praise God. He is so egotistical. He's so full of pride. He believes he can do it. Matter of fact, nobody's more blinded by pride than the devil. We talk about how strong he is, and certainly we're no match for him without Jesus, but with Jesus we are, amen? But listen, he's got a lot of weaknesses too, because nobody's more blinded by pride than him. He knows this Bible's the Word of God, and he knows it's true, and he knows who Jesus is, yet he's still on the path that he's on the course that he's on. He still believes that some way, somehow, at the end of this thing, he can still overcome God. You know what that is? That is blind, foolish pride. And by the way, pride will do the same thing to you. If you get to thinking that you can do it, and you're the one running this thing, and you're the one in control, and you're the one in power, you'll be just as blind as him, thinking you don't need God, thinking you don't need a church, thinking you don't need a pastor, thinking you don't need a man of God, children thinking they don't need their parents, thinking you don't need what God has set up in your life, and pride will blind you, amen? But listen, if we'll keep ourselves humble and praise the Lord and glorify him and give him what he's worthy of. Amen. God will bless us. Amen. And all through the Bible, we can find commands to be thankful, commands to praise God. Amen. You know, anybody can do that too. Again, get back to that complicated thing. The flesh wants complication because not everybody can do it. You're special if you can do it. But do you know that pleasing God, anybody can do it? Amen. Anybody can praise God. Anybody can honor God. I was thinking about Brother Mike Church coming to our Bible conference a couple years ago. And he's all crippled up, you know, and he's in that wheelchair. He had to have somebody come help him get into his room and all because he's all crippled up. Yet he sat right down here in the front and sat in that wheelchair right up front. And boy, those hands were up and he was praising and he was with the preacher and he was getting in on the worship. And I tell you what it did. It blessed me by him blessing the Lord. And by the way, that's the way worship and praise always is. Amen. We always bless somebody else, whether we realize it or not. Somebody's getting blessed by your testimony. Amen. And somebody's getting blessed by your praise. And somebody's getting blessed by your singing. And somebody's getting blessed by your worship. Somebody's getting help. Whether you know it or not, somebody's getting help. And that's the danger danger of not doing what God puts on our heart to do is that you might miss out on the blessing of praising Him, and somebody else might miss out on that blessing too. You never know where somebody else is at, somebody across the aisle or in another pew. You never know where they are, and when the Lord puts that testimony or puts that song or puts whatever that is on your heart and you don't do it, they miss out on getting what God's wanting to do through you. That little bit of encouragement that stirs them up and helps them keep going another mile. You never know what you're doing in the service. Amen. It's always in order to praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A lot of people are praying for the will of God. You ain't even got to pray about that. You ain't even got to pray about it. If you want to be in the will of God, in everything, give thanks. Amen? That's the will of God. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen? In other words, if you can't do it and be thankful unto God for doing it, you better not do it. Amen? Amen? That's a pretty good litmus test for everything we do. Everything we say. Lord, thank you that I said that. Thank you that I did that. Thank you that I responded that way. Lord, thank you for what I'm doing right now. If you can't pass it through the litmus test of being able to thank God Almighty for it, it's best not to do it. Amen? Because Paul said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it and thank God for it. Amen? In Psalm 100, verse 105, the psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. By the way, again, this is something anybody can do. Because not everybody can make a beautiful noise, but everybody can make a joyful noise. Amen? And it may sound good, it may not sound good, but the command is to make a joyful noise. Amen. And thank God any of us can do it. Isn't that amazing how the promises and the blessings that come with the promises are on the bottom shelf for everybody? It's always on the bottom shelf. There's never one thing commanded by God for us to do in the Bible that somebody cannot do. Listen. The best off and worst off person, the person who's physically capable or physically incapable, God never commanded anything that anybody can't do. Because listen, you may be physically incapable of making a beautiful noise, but you can make a joyful noise. Amen? Anybody can do it. And so He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen? Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that madeth and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Psalm 105 verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You can't be in the will of God or right with God if you won't praise the Lord. And you're never more like the devil when you won't. Amen. See, it makes you wonder, you know, you think about how often we fail to thank God for our blessings. We're so busy asking God for what we think is our needs that we forget to thank God for all that He has done. Amen. And if you're having trouble here, let me just make a suggestion to you. I was thinking about this morning. Let me just make a suggestion. This is a very practical way to help all of us with this. We're struggling with this, and I think we all struggle with it because it's flesh. It's human nature, Miss Ann. It's fallen nature to struggle with this. Let me just make a suggestion here. Get you a notebook. Can be a small notebook. And daily, sit down, write in it a list of things from the past day from which you can give thanks. But then also things in that present day for which you will give thanks. Amen? Everybody can sit down first thing every morning and write from the past day everything they're thankful for that day. And you can also write the things that you don't even know are going to happen yet that day, and you can say, I'm going to thank the Lord for this. I will be thankful. I don't know what's going to happen this day. I don't know what's going to come, but I know I'm going to make up my mind right now. I'm going to be thankful. You can set your heart to be thankful. Amen. By the way, you can have each member of your family contribute to that list. You know what that'll do? That you'll be amazed at, first of all, how big that list will get. Amen. With just a little bit of time of thinking all you can be thankful for, but then it'll help you and your family have a more positive attitude in life, have your mind fixed upon the Lord, and think positively about what all God's done and your lot in life. See, it's human nature. It's fallen nature to get up in the morning and think about, you know, what I wish I had or what I wish I was doing that day or where I wish I was going. But you intentionally meditate on the blessings of God and you'll be a whole lot more thankful for what God's doing rather than what you wish He was doing. Amen? Let me just say this. Do that, then bring that list to church with you. Amen? And when it's testifying time, you just stand up and say, I got a list of things that I want to thank the Lord for. And then you just read off that list. Amen? Amen. You bring that list and you publicly testify because it's great. It's wonderful to from the heart and within your heart be thankful in the Lord. But listen, there's blessings too in publicly testifying of the things that you're thankful for. Because listen, thank God in everything. In everything, give thanks. But let me just say this. Thank Him for specific things too. You know, a lot of the little specific things that we don't maybe think about. See, a lot of times we'll testify, we'll say, well, I just want to thank the Lord for all He's done in my life. And that's good. That's wonderful. I'm not throwing stones or slapping anybody over the head with anything. That is wonderful. But I think sometimes the fact that we don't thank Him for more specific things shows that we're not meditating on it. And one of the best ways to have a thankful heart, the things to be thankful for, is to think about the way your life would be if you didn't have it anymore. Amen? I mean, water is so common, clean water is so common. But think about what it'd been like if you woke up this morning and you didn't have it. And a lot of people in this world don't. Amen? They don't. They don't have clean water. Listen, warm water is one. It's great to take a nice warm shower, ain't it? Think about what it'd be like if you didn't have it. Amen. Think about what it'd been like if you didn't have something to eat for breakfast this morning, or you didn't have something to drink, or heaven forbid, you didn't have coffee this morning. That'd be if there's ever a purgatory, that's it, right? Living without coffee. I mean, think about what it'd be like if you didn't have a clean pair of clothes to put on, clean set of clothes to put on. You've been wearing the same raggedy clothes for the past week or month, and that was all you had. That is the reality of some people's lives. You realize that? That's not some Hallmark movie. That's not some Hollywood movie. That's the reality of the way some people live. Amen? I was looking at Gideon's way Gideon was dressed this morning. He picked out his own pants, picked out his own shoes, them old dirty tennis shoes. And he needs some new dress shoes, and we ain't had time to get him any yet. What would it be like if that was all he had, and we didn't have the money, didn't have the ability to go get him some nice dress and church shoes? That's the reality for a lot of families. That's the reality for a lot of people, and that's something to be thankful for. Think about what you've got, and if you didn't have it, I tell you, it'll cause you to be thankful for it. Amen. And the reality is, we just need to meditate on it more. If you want future blessings, you better start being thankful for previous blessings. What you got now? Amen? A lot of things that God could take away from us. If I've heard it said before, and you've heard this, if I only had today the things I was thankful for yesterday, what would I have today? If you woke up this morning and the only things you had were the things you thanked God for yesterday morning, what all would you have today? Amen. There's appreciation here. Talking about the duties of man because of how good God's been to us. There's appreciation. There's supplication here. The next thing the psalmist says is to call upon His name. That, of course, speaks of prayer. You know, we're exhorted and encouraged throughout Scripture to come to God in prayer over and over and over and over and over. Yeah, it's a duty of man to pray because God's been so good to us. The psalmist is meditating on how good God's been in the past, and it stirs his heart to want to be better for the Lord, and to want to do his duty unto God. The first thing he says is, boy, I need to be appreciative, and everybody needs to appreciate God for what God has done. And then the next thing he says is, we ought to be calling on God. By the way, thinking about what he's praising the Lord for, the history of God, you know, raising up Moses and bringing Israel out of Egypt. You know when that happened? When God's people started calling on God. God started working. Heaven started moving. Whenever God's people started calling on the Lord, calling on Him. Listen, they were down in Egypt, and as long as they were satisfied being there, as long as things were, you know, not great, but not bad enough that they, you know, would rather be somewhere else, listen, that's where they stayed. And you know where we'll stay spiritually? We'll stay right where we're comfortable being. They may not be the way we want them to be, and enough people may not be getting saved like we want them to be, and the church may not be growing like we want to be, and I may not be being as much like Jesus as I want to be. But as long as, even though it's not what I want exactly, but I'm comfortable enough, that's where I'll stay. That's where you'll stay. God's people only saw heaven move and God raise up a man and God move them forward when they got out of their comfort zone and things got so bad they said, we don't want this anymore. I don't want this for me anymore. Listen, God started moving and God's people started calling on Him when there were some families down in Egypt that said, I don't want this for my family anymore. I don't want this future for my children anymore. I don't want the generations to live like this anymore. I'm fed up with where I am. I'm fed up with where our people are. I'm fed up with where we are spiritually. We could be in the land of promise, but we're stuck down here in Egypt. Amen. And I tell you, as long as you're comfortable down in Egypt spiritually, as long as you're comfortable with your children down in Egypt, as long as we're comfortable with our church down in Egypt, that's right where we'll stay. Amen. But when we realize where we're at and realize that there's something better for us over the horizon and realize there's somewhere God wants to take us, and there's victory to be had, and we get tired of where we are and get to call it on God like Israel did down in Egypt, God will do something. God will start working. Heaven will start moving, and it is our duty to call on Him. Amen. And so it's a duty to pray. And by the way, note it says, to call upon His name, He said. You know, we often go to a lot of people and a lot of things for help before we go to God for help. Call upon His name. You think about this, how sad this is. Some people, very religious people, even pray to saints of old. Why would you do that? Why would you pray to St. Thomas or St. Peter or St. Lucius? Or I mean, all these, I mean, they got 500,000 saints you can pray to out there. You know, why would you ever pray to Mary? Why would you ever pray to the cousin of Jesus? Or, you know, why would you ever do that when you can go straight to Him? When we've got one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And by His name and in His name and through Him, we can go straight to the throne. Hallelujah. Why would you ever pray to anybody else? But the truth is, we do that a lot, don't we? Oh, we might not pray to some other saint or whatever, but man, we'll go to everybody and everything for help, except for the one that can do something for us. You realize, you say, well, this person over here, they've got the know-how, they've got the ability to help me in this situation, and they may have it. Thank God for the people He puts into our lives to help us or to meet some need or someone that we can be a blessing to or whatever. Thank God for the people. But you realize, without God, listen, that person wouldn't help us without God. Amen. You say, well, I don't believe that. What are you going to do with Daniel? Because it was God who put Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs down in Babylon. It was God that did that. Listen, Daniel could have stood up and said, we're not eating the king's meat. And he could have purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And that would have been right to do it. But listen, it was God that put him in favor with man. Listen, God could have just as well allowed him to have his head chopped off. And God would have been right in either one, and God's purpose would have been fulfilled in either one. But I'm just simply saying, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. You've never talked somebody into doing anything. Amen. It's God that puts us into favor with men. I remember whenever they were here, we were working on the flooring, and all them boys were here, and we'd pray together every day. You know, when we'd start the day, we'd get together and we'd pray and ask God to help us. And one of the things that he prayed every morning, he would always pray and always make it a note to pray, Lord, give us favor with men. Give us favor with them. Lord, anything we need help with, anything we need to buy, any more materials we need for all this, Lord, please give us favor with men. Amen? Because that's what it's going to take if it's going to be done. We won't have favor with men if God don't give it. Just simply saying, the reality is that we ought to be calling on the Lord because He's the one that does it all. Amen? Actually, it begs the question, how is your prayer life? How is my prayer life? Prayer is a privilege, and prayer provides such blessing in our life. How is our prayer life? You say, well, how do I pray? I don't really know even how to pray. How do I pray? You know, I think prayer is like a lot of other things. We complicate it. And I know the Lord did give the model prayer and all those things. But you know, at the end of the day, prayer is simply this. It's talking to God. And it's from the heart, by faith, simply talk to and tell God everything. Everything. Tell Him everything. Well, David said he poured out his complaint to the Lord. In other words, even the things he was complaining about, even the things that weren't right in his life, he wasn't complaining to somebody else. That's what we do. We complain to somebody else when that's the last thing we should do. Anything that comes out of our mouth to somebody ought to be praise and thanksgiving and seasoned with salt and seasoned with grace, graceful words. That's what the Bible says as far as our words to everybody. Amen? Never once does the Bible tell us to complain to anybody. But David said he complained to God. If you're going to complain to anybody, let it be the Lord, not anybody else. Amen? Amen. And so, by faith, tell God everything. Because He's been so good to us. Appreciation and supplication. And last of all, there's proclamation here. The end of the verse, he says, make known His deeds among the people. In Charles Spurgeon's book on the Psalms, you ought to get it if you don't have it. It'd be well worth the money that you'd pay for it. Probably $10 to buy it for you. But in Charles Spurgeon's book on the Psalms, he describes the three parts of this verse. And he describes them as praise for former mercies, prayer for future mercies, and proclamation of famous mercies. Amen. You know, we tend to do more of the second and the first. We tend to do more of the second than we do the first and the third. We do more praying for future mercies rather than praising Him for former mercies and proclaiming the famous mercies. But we need to praise as well. We need to pray as well. We need to proclaim well. We need to do it all. See, the world that we're living in dishonors God in everything they do. In their speech, you know, they curse, they use profanity, they dishonor God in criticism. It's amazing when you think about all that God is blamed for by the world, by people that don't even know Him. You know, people that have never even read the Bible don't even know anything about Him, and they accuse Him, blame Him for all the troubles. But you know, let God's people play a different tune by proclaiming His wonderful deeds. Rather than dishonoring Him, we ought to be proclaiming the goodness of God. How good God has been to us. You know, sometimes, and I know it certainly is right to witness, and it's right to give the gospel, and it's right to give a gospel tract and all those things, but, you know, sometimes it speaks just as loudly for somebody to be around, some lost person, some wicked person, be around us and walk away. Just because of the way we lived our life, walk away saying, well, there's something about that guy. There's something about that lady. There's just something about them. And that's the way it should be. Because as it went over in 1 John 4, let us love one another. See, again, no man hath seen God at any time, but His love is fulfilled in us. In other words, the only way the world sees God, and sometimes is what of God they see in us. Amen. And so, the duties of humanity, there's appreciation and supplication and proclamation. And in light of how good God has been to all of us, we've testified and we've prayed and we've sang and we've worshiped the Lord from the heart regarding how good He's been to us. In light of all that, I wonder how our appreciation is, and I wonder how our prayer life is, and I wonder how our proclamation is. Are we really doing our duties for the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take this simple little thought, Lord, and help us, God, to be more like You and be what You want us to be. Help us, Lord, to do our duty unto You because You've been so good to us. Lord, You've blessed us. You've taken care of us. You've met our needs. And for that, we are so thankful. And we want to do better. We want to be more like You. And Lord, we want to be, Lord, the best we can be for You in these last days. Father, I pray that You would stir our hearts and help us. And Lord, bless in the altar call. Bless in the remainder of the service. Help us, Lord, if You've spoke to our hearts, to respond, Lord, in a way that'd be pleasing to You. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.